G'day, this is Patty and Rob Palmer. This is our podcast for Monday, the 1st of March. How quickly the year's going.
Yep, autumn already.
Yeah,
time
I know.
To turn off the air conditioning so the kids can't use it.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Because, it's autumn.
Oh, but it's so bloody hot. Come on, cool down. Therefore, save me some money.
Yeah.
Earlier on today, we looked at how a man was mortified by a neighbour's embarrassing note about loud sex noises. The walls are very thin. Oh,
I'd have puffed my chest out and started banging it.
Oh, I would have walked
proud
around everywhere. Exactly. Also, the Golden Globes were on today. We went and had a chat to Shane A. Bassett, our movie review man.
Action.
Ladies and gentlemen, live from Hollywood in the US of A. Actually, from Terrigal. It's time for Shane A. Bassett's movie review.
This is Sparta!
The Golden Globes. Oh, Shane A., our movie review man. Hello.
He's excited.
Hello, Patty and Rob. Yeah, this kicks off awards season, my favourite time of year.
This is like the prelim to the grand final, which is the Oscars for you, really, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much. It's indication of what might get Academy Award nominations. And after today, there's a whole lot of other award ceremonies, and then it leads up to the Oscars, the grand final.
Okay, 78th Golden Globe, both TV and film being on it. Mate, will Schitt's Creek, seriously, Schitt's Creek fan, do you tip them?
Yeah, in the TV categories, there's so many multi nominees for Schitt's Creek, The Queen's Gambit, Ozark, and The Crown. So they're the four big ones for television, and I think you'll be in luck, Paddy. Oh. Schitt's Creek will do what it did at the Emmys. It'll just win heaps.
Mate, I've been watching Ozark. Did you tell me to watch Ozark, Rob?
No, I told you to watch the other one. What's the other one?
Parks and Rec.
Parks and Recreation.
I did start watching that yesterday and went to sleep.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that Ozark would be something that you'd watch, Rob, but honestly, it is a terrific show, and Jason Bateman is up for Best Actor in that. He should win, and he's won before for that show. I think the television ones are stacked, but when it comes to the movie categories, because a lot of the blockbusters haven't come out and a lot of movies had to get moved, mostly art house and smaller films are nominated.
And, mate, two Australians nominated too.
Yeah, it's good to see. Cate Blanchett and Nicole Kidman, they're both nominated in the same category, so they could cancel each other out. They're up for Best Actress in Miniseries. Nicole Kidman was in The Undoing, Cate Blanchett in Mrs. America, but Anya Taylor-Joy for The Queen's Gambit is also nominated in that same category, and I think she'll beat them both because The Queen's Gambit was just a terrific show.
Yeah.
That was a knockout. Yeah.
It was, yeah. I mean, it's about chess, but it's not about chess, and the acting in it was superb. And Anya Taylor-Joy, she's also nominated for a movie for Emma as well, so she's really coming high places, that actress.
That's another series. I just start watching these series and then stop. Sacha Baron Cohen is nominated as well, mate.
Yeah, unbelievably, he's nominated for Borat 2, which I didn't give much time to, but the Hollywood Foreign Press seem to love Sacha Baron Cohen, and he's also nominated in the drama Trial of the Chicago 7. So he shows both sides of his acting capabilities there.
He showed, showed his real side in those tennis ads.
Yeah. Look, I have a friend who didn't know it was him in those ads.
No, I didn't know either. What are you doing, mate?
All right, mate. Well, it's going to be on for young and old, the 78th Golden Globe ceremony for both film and TV. Mate, thanks for giving us a look and having a quick sneak preview of what's going to happen. And you'll join us on Thursday, buddy.
Yeah, looking forward to it, guys. Have a great day.
We're looking at Neighbours complaint, the biggest complaint about Neighbours, because I read this article on the weekend where a man was mortified by a neighbour's embarrassing note about loud sex noises. And the man received an embarrassing noise complaint note from his next-door neighbour claiming his bedroom antics had been a bit too vocal recently.
Would you be embarrassed? No. You'd be
You're doing it deliberately.
Yeah, that's right. Stop rubbing it in.
Yeah, the handwritten, I'm getting some, you're not. The handwritten letter addressed the couple pleading with them to please fix their bed. And the walls are very thin in this building. This is on the note. And we really don't want to know when you are having sex, they wrote, claiming the issue concerns new flats. Neighbour signed off the note with many thanks. please quieten down. But then what happened? Then they put it up online, and then they got about 22,000 likes and other comments from letters. And Shelley, she tweeted, she said, my ex-neighbours used to be at it like rabbits all hours for about 18 months during their honeymoon period, probably because it eased off. Used to grate a bit because it was so loud and so often. My more recent neighbours just shout at each other and their kids all day. Miss the sex now. And this other one, I had a neighbour knock on my door and complain about my noisy sex over the previous weekend.
Really?
Yeah. I'd been away. Jeez. That's how I found out he was cheating.
I'd love to get a complaint about the...
Didn't you?
I don't think I'm getting... It's just not happening enough.
Well, did you hear this? I had a neighbour knock on my door and complain about my noisy sex over the previous weekend. I'd been away. That's how I found out he was cheating. So the neighbour came to her door, complained about it.
Oh, no. And she was... Oh.
Yeah, and she was away. Upon realisation, neighbour gave me a hug and cooked me dinner with his family. It was such an act of kindness I'll never forget. Wow.
Well.
Yeah, there you go. Your biggest complaint about your neighbours. Remain anonymous. It could be one of the sons could play trumpet. Just learn to play trumpet.
Could be.
They might be fixing their motorbikes at all hours of the night. And morning. Andrew, Wyoming. G'day, mate.
Andrew.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Yeah, good, mate. Okay, what's noisy neighbours? What's gone wrong? What have they done?
It's not that they've gone wrong. I just think they're inconsiderate.
Oh, fair enough.
Some weekends they'll play the Russian Army Band until 11:59.
The Russian Army Band in particular? They like that album? What's the...
I don't know if it's an album. Seriously, I try and put my head under a rock at that time because... Hearing the Russian Army Band playing Highway to Hell?
Really?
Oh, seriously. It's bad.
Does it happen really every weekend?
Lost for words.
It happens once a month, maybe.
Yeah.
Oh. But you think and you can't say anything to them because they don't get it.
No, they're having too much fun.
Yeah, look, it does happen.
G'day, Dave from Woongarra.
Good morning, Rob. Good morning, Patty. How are you?
Good, thank you, mate.
Not bad. What a magical Monday.
Not really, no.
No.
Oh, okay. Come on. No, what are you calling about, buddy?
Mate, I used to live in a block of 12 units.
Oh, right.
Up in North Balgowla when we first got married. And my daughter was about four. And at the end of the block, in the top floor at the end of the block, there was this a big blonde lady. She was... some sort of fitness instructor, you know the type. They had some very, very noisy sex. Her husband was this little tiny bloke. He was only tiny compared to her. He was real tiny. And anyway, my daughter got up one morning. She said, "Oh, that lady was hurting the man again last night." Or the man was hurting the lady. I said, "What do you mean?" She said, "I could hear him. She was crying." Oh, my God. So we moved very shortly after that.
How do you explain that one? How old was your daughter at the time?
She was about three or four.
Just call it like you see it, don't you? Three or four.
All right, Davey. Hey, mate, we've got some whiskey loot for you. Congratulations, mate.
You're a gentleman. Thank you very much.
When the big issues of the Central Coast need to be discussed, people turn to Paddy and Rob Palmer on 107.7 Triple M. This is The Forum.
Hey, listen, in the news this morning, this is what we heard from Emmy Mack, our Central Coast local briefing.
The Premier is refusing to get drawn into calls for a judicial inquiry into Central Coast Council, and she says the matter is in the hands of the local government minister, who'll make a decision at the end of the administration period.
I think the community doesn't necessarily want review on review on review. They want to see action. They want to see fairness.
Yeah, and I'd like to see fairness.
Yeah, but if the review after review keeps saying the same thing, why do you keep asking for reviews if we keep getting the same answers? Because Dick's come back and Dick he's looked into the...
There's no negligence, but I tell you what, could we dig further? Because what people want to know, basically what we want to know, where the money go.
565 in just a couple of years.
List the money. Where's all that money gone?
They're still losing another 107 this year, so there's still something going wrong.
Chris from Greenpoint. G'day, mate.
Hey, Chris.
G'day, boys. How are you?
Mate, not too bad. Do you think there should be an inquiry?
Yeah, I do. On the grounds of, like, what Robbie just said, then you know, they keep finding there's no negligence. But what would be the definition of negligence if they didn't find any with Central Coast Council? Like, if you lose $500 million, essentially, and you're not negligent, what are you?
an idiot.
Yeah, so, you know, there's got to be, like, you know, by no means would I be saying that that Dick's not doing his job. It's more like the, I don't know, the accountability factor needs to be there, I think. And, you know, I think with all the gigs that I've done and all the gigs that you guys do, if you're responsible for a budget of some kind and you mess it up, you know, you're in trouble for it. But particularly, it's like, as you go, you're working to your budget as you go. How do you not know that you're $500 million in debt? How do you not know?
Yeah, I know. It's hard to fathom.
Let's say you're running a major business and there's shareholders involved, and then you start giving people jobs and paying people for things that you don't have money for, the shareholders ultimately wear the brunt of that cost. And we are, as people of the community, are technically shareholders of the council because it's run by public funding. Isn't that
absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And it's a bit hard to believe that there's, you know, I know that the term unlawful and criminal are different, but, you know, a deliberate misuse of $200 worth of state funding, if that's not sort of fraud or some kind of criminality, what is it?
Exactly. When you use unrestricted, and we know what unrestricted means, you don't go there. And if you've gone there, you go, hey, that's a bit dodgy.
Yeah, exactly, man. Exactly. Meanwhile, I can't get DAs approved.
Just build the carport, mate. I'm hearing DAs.
Just build the carport.
I'm hearing DAs
don't
are taking.
Don't say that you should do that.
No. That's what someone said. Asking for a friend. But that's what people are telling me to try and get their DA through at the moment. It's taking months and months and months. Is that what you're finding?
Mine is 11 and a half months as we speak. 12 months as of next month.
Oh. 11 and a half months, and what for, mate? Is something major?
Oh yeah, look, it's not a lockdown rebate, but it's an extension. And to be fair, I have coloured outside the lines a little bit. Yeah. But the negotiation phase has been
11 and a half months for an extension.
Well, basically, council, without sort of saying too much, but have proven at several stages that they've been unwilling to work with us in a negotiative fashion. It's just like I get an email back that'll just say no. It's like, okay, well, do you wish to work with me on this, or do you wish to just tell me no and not tell me why I can't do it?
Well, you know what? We'll speak to Dick this week, and we'll see if we can get that extension done for you, mate.
Yeah, mate, and if they could pay for it, that'd be great.
Yeah, that's right. We'll just tack it on.
We'll see if we can get...
There's some restricted funds somewhere they can access.
I know. Every resident on the coast could do a $50,000 renovation for free on the government, and it wouldn't amount to the debt that we've got. I just don't get it.
Yeah, well, maybe we can do that instead of a rate rise.
Yeah, nice one.
Hey, that'd be thanks, all right. Chrissy, thanks for joining us, mate.
Yeah, you too.
This is the news that doesn't make the news. It should be in the news instead of the other news.
Did you just hiccup? What do you got for us on other news?
Well,
yep.
A woman was picked. First of all, I don't recommend hitchhiking. It's still not a good thing. Yep. But this
many people
woman,
do it. Many people still do it.
I don't think anyone hitchhikes. I did see a guy last year hitchhiking at 3:30 in the morning.
Oh, that's a bit mad.
Just near the McGowan Bridge.
Yeah, unless you've got a black belt in or an MMA, you know, specialist.
They'd be confident hitchhiking, wouldn't they?
Yeah, of course you would.
You'd be confident.
Yeah, or you had bloody two big dogs with you. Don't hitchhike.
Who'd pick up someone with two big dogs?
No one.
It's
a long walk.
Just go out with your two big dogs, throw your thumb out and see what happens.
Yeah.
See if they can pitch up. But no, there was a woman, Judy, who met her husband.
Oh, hitchhiking.
On the way to, hitchhiking. On the way
bloody
to.
Bloody hell, there you go.
Woodstock, famous Woodstock concert in 69.
Gee, this story's a bit late.
Yeah, I know. No, but the point is, though, they met hitchhiking.
And in other news, the president has been
shot. She's thrown the thumb out, right? Yeah. And said, I'll get in the car because there's a couple. There's a woman and a guy in the car. So she gets in and the guy picks her up. And 50 years later, they're still married.
Oh, beautiful.
50 years married
to
the wrong woman.
Well done. Well done.
So well done, mate.
That's supposed to be the little fluffy dog on the...
That was the fluffy dog story.
Oh, there we go.
Married 50 years. She's still waiting for him to get his memory back.
Yes, after spending that week or two at Woodstock, whatever it went on for.
That's right, 1969.
Yeah, look, I got this man, he lost something, he found it again. He lost 181 kilos, then he regained it all. How would you be, hey? Oh. Some of these people have gone on Biggest Loser.
That's a huge fail.
He managed to lose an incredible 181 kilos, David his name was, in the space of 2 years. He even lost 45 kilograms in the first 3 months of this new diet regime. Lost it all.
I wonder if he got the skin cut off, because it'd be a lot of skin.
That's what happens. Yeah, that's what does happen. Yeah.
You'd like it.
It'd be huge excess skin.
And he did it all to impress a girl, and then she got married to someone else, and he went, stuff it, maybe.
I don't know. But he went back, and I do hear a lot that went on Biggest Loser, because it's unnatural. When they were on Biggest Loser, it was unnatural. No way could a normal person, and that's what they're going to do. I think in these weight loss shows, you've got to do it in your normal life, where you've got to work, got to take your kids to school, you've got all things to do in the afternoon, got homework, all that. You can't just take them out of their environment.
It's a struggle losing weight in those conditions, isn't it, Paddy?
Oh, can't you tell?
Just saying.
Can't you tell? But and they take them out of that environment and they put them in where they've got personal trainers, they've got dietitians, they've got TV cameras. They've got bum wipers. Where do you get those? Good job if you can get it. That's unnatural setting. Yeah. And then you come back to normal, and of course you're going to put on weight. And that's what this lad did too. He lost 181 kilos and he regained it all.
Yep. Unprecedented, and I'm going for a second one. Yeah. Look, this is just what I saw last night. Love Eddie Murphy, because he's the funniest man in the world. Speaking of bum wipers, the Coming to America, The Prince of Zamunda, it's coming back. They've got a sequel. They're making a sequel. It's going to be Amazon Prime on March 3rd, I think.
Using the old cast.
All the old cast to come back.
Like Cobra Kai.
Yeah. Okay, because Eddie Murphy. Not like Cobra Kai. But Eddie Murphy plays many characters in this thing. Do you remember Coming to America in the barbershop?
I do not recall. I do not recall. No, seriously, mate.
And what about Randy Watson? Sexual chocolate. It was so funny. It was the best movie ever.
All right, anyway. I'll have to go. That's two other news. Now, what do you think, Robert? Harry, we saw the interview, Prince Harry on James Corden. Did he do the right thing?
There's a bloke that never forgets his deodorant.
Who, Harry?
Yeah, he'd always have deodorant.
Do you think? We'll play a part of the interview, okay?
Do you think he has links, or do you think he's got like a fancy?
He'd have Rexona for men.
He'd have something.
Yeah, 24-hour protection. Of course he would. This is Prince Harry with James Corden.
To have walked away from the royal family, why did you feel that was necessary and the right thing to do for you and your family?
It was never walking away. It was stepping back rather than stepping down.
But he did say about the press.
Cut him down. Did he have something better to say?
No. He did say about the press, he had a gut full of the press in England. What I find sort of hypocritical in some way is that you go, they were, kept on all the stuff they wrote. But here I am doing James Corden going over America.
Please, have you ever seen what the Pommy press do to anything?
Yeah, I know. But I'm just saying, you're bagging the press, yet you've gone on James Corden. You're then going on Oprah. Yeah. You've signed up with a series on Netflix about your life.
That's
and also
every
Spotify.
Every second newspaper in the UK is rubbishing him, telling him he's a loser, telling him he's bailed
up. Did they say
that?
Were they saying that? I just thought
they just say, mate, you've run, you've spat your dummy, you're leaving, you're
lucky
doing this.
Lucky we're not working.
I didn't read any of it.
Lucky we're not working in England.
I can only assume. Yeah, that's right.
Holy jeez.
But then he's come out, he's jumped on the bus to stop the bus, basically, the bus of media that was coming out attacking him. So why wouldn't he? I reckon it's a great thing.
Yeah, a lot of people are saying, though, the awkward interview Prince Harry might end up regretting. They were saying, like, different things he did throughout the interview.
Let's just say slapstick's not his thing. like when the trolley came down and
anyway, as we all know, that the Harry and Meghan lost a lot of their privileges and titles.
Well, they did.
And our Triple M Big Band sang about it.
Harry wanted his space. He and Megs went to LA, left the other royals to the work. He spent the year in the US, didn't like the work stress. From that time, he's kissed the perks goodbye. Don't blame it on William. Don't blame it on Prince Charles. Don't blame it on Andrew. Blame it on Harry. Don't blame it on Edward. Don't blame it on Camilla. Don't blame it on your nan. Blame it on Harry. Now you've lost your titles from all the institutions that you used to love and quite adored. You've changed your life completely. Now you've left the family, so you must say goodbye to all the perks. Don't blame it on William. Don't blame it on Prince Charles. Don't blame it on Andrew. Blame it on Harry. Don't blame it on Edward. Don't blame it on Camilla. Don't blame it on your nan. Blame it on Harry.
Paddy, I've got another splendid idea.
Oh, what is it this time?
Well, anyone listening can just subscribe to the Paddy and Rob podcast and stay up to date.
Of course, why wouldn't you?